The Spectator magazine combines incisive political analysis with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online. Plus, we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Oscar Edmondson and I'm joined today by Fraser Nelson and James Heal. So Labour have launched their local elections campaign today and have done so with a joint op-ed from Keir Starmer and Angela Rayner in The Times, promising to empower localities and put an end to the regional divide. This is all encompassed in their Take Back Control Act, a phrase which I'm sure listeners will be familiar with, James.
Yeah, so today was the launch of Labour's local election campaign, and Keir Starmer started it by saying, you know, I'd hope this was going to be the campaign for the national election. And I think that really sort of, there was a subdued element to all of this, and I think that's because the whole conversation in Westminster elsewhere is just dominated by this never-ending parlour game of when's the election going to be. And I think it's very telling, perhaps, that the local election speech he gave today could actually have been a sort of carbon off-the-shelf national campaign launch. So he was talking about the Tories' failures, etc., and how it's really important in these local elections to send a message to Rishi Sunak. As you say, Oscar, the kind of main pitch from today was how they're trying to park Labour's tanks on the Tory lawn by talking about levelling up and seeking to bury the Tories by praising Boris Johnson, saying that, you know, levelling up was a good ambition for Britain, but that it had been distracted by the fact that Tory incompetence, chaos, etc., not having the right priorities. And Keir Starmer said subsequently in interviews afterwards that levelling up was strangled by Rishi Sunak at birth. So really pinning the blame on the Tories. But of course, you know, given there's no money left, as we all talk about on this podcast, it was left to kind of things about devolution, political reform, the thing you always talk about when there is no money to spend. And so we always saw no new policies today, and instead a restatement, a recommitment to that Taking Back Control Act. The question, of course, I wonder is, how are you going to kind of empower local communities more while also promising a massive house building programme? How are you going to be able to sort of keep their concerns in the process while also promising to, you know, not to congregate over the NIMBYs? And that's the kind of tension, I think, at the heart of Labour's prospectus, which is, on the one hand, lots of political reform to kind of take power away from Westminster, and yet also empower Westminster to be able to deliver the kind of planning reform that Britain needs. Understandably, given all of this, it meant that the press conference afterwards was not dominated by questions about devolution and the merits or lack thereof, but instead questions about Angela Rayner. And I think that shows perhaps how neither party is saying anything particularly new right now, and said they're finding other lines which aren't to the advantage of press officers.
Yeah, and we'll probably go on to Angela Rayner in a second, but Fraser, I did want to ask you about, do you think there's really an appetite for devolution on this scale? I mean, we've got power bases in the West Midlands and Andy Burnham in Manchester, but I mean, Bristol voted out their mayor, and there seems to be very low turnout when it comes to these regions.
I'm not sure there ever has been much of an appetite for more devolution in England outside of Westminster. I mean, David Cameron had various referendums asking people if they wanted mayors, and they said no. They ended up getting them anyway. I think people tend to see it as another layer of government, something which they don't need very much. And we've got plenty local government. I think your average Brit is elected by represented by several people. And in these elections, I think the Conservatives will be probably lose about half of the seats that they contest. And I suspect they'll probably lose Dorset Council, lose Thurrock.
Tunbridge Wells, potentially. Disgusted of Tunbridge Wells. Typically a Telegraph reader. Might be voting Lib Dem.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty grim night. I mean, Rishi Sunak will not be wishing there was more devolution when you count these election results. So I think it's, of course, you know, for a long, long time, from the moment Sunak walked into number 10, he knew that the May 24 elections would be very difficult moments, because they would be up against, you know, Boris was in a relatively sort of a relative high the last time these were contested. If you look at the national voting share equivalent to 4 years ago, it would be closer to 40%. Now the Tories are struggling to get about 25% nationally. And if you compare this even to last year's local elections, where they did badly, that put them on a sort of 30% voter share. So they've got a lot further to fall. So that's why I think if I was Rishi Sunak, I would be basically saying that any surviving, single Conservative councillor surviving would be a victory.
And going back to Angela Rayner then, Keir Starmer will have been hoping for a seamless launch of their local election campaign, but a lot of the headlines have been about his number two. For listeners that might not be aware, can you take us through what's been going on?
Yeah, so this is about the Lord Ashcroft book, the biography of Angela Rayner, that's been serialised in the Mail amid claims that potentially she provided misleading information about what her residence it was at the time she was buying one of her council houses 15 years ago before she entered frontline politics. And I think the reason why this story is going to continue rumbling on, a couple of reasons. I think one of which is that it's quite a complicated story to do with electoral law. The second of which is that I think there are no easy answers to this. I mean, it would appear that, you know, Angela Rayner, obviously at this time of her life, was never thinking she was going to end up one day being the deputy leader of the Labour Party. I think the third reason why, obviously, political opponents are particularly keen to enjoy this story, and the Conservatives are certainly pushing this, is because Angela Rayner, for the past 4 years, has really served as the kind of bully boy, the Prescott to Starmer's Blair, being his deputy, going out being Labour's attack dog. Any misdemeanour, any slip by Conservatives being pounced on by Rayner, fired off letters to kind of commissioner standards left, right and centre, very quick to be out commenting. For instance, just last January, she was very critical of Nadeem Zahawi, saying the fact that he wasn't out on the airwaves at that time when he was party chairman was a particularly egregious offence. Well, of course, she's only done a couple of interviews since this whole story broke at the end of January, and I think that's obviously impeding someone who a lot of Labour give credit for as one of the most effective communicators. Conservatives are obviously very keen to pin anything they can on Starmer. And I think what was quite striking today was that, you know, Starmer said things like, oh, she's answered questions and all of this, etc., but didn't specifically, when he was asked about, you know, should she resign if she's found to have done wrong. This is all off the back of Greater Manchester Police's decision yesterday to decide to re-examine whether to open an investigation. He was quite careful in his language, I think. So it's going to be one of those issues which is going to keep on running. What I would also just say, though, is that Starmer was very defensive of his deputy, and I think that perhaps shows how their relationship has strengthened over the past 2-3 years ago, since we had that Hartlepool by-election, when there were briefings that perhaps she was going to move against him. So it's going to be one that dominates over the next couple of weeks of recess, because it looks like a particularly empty news grid on the government side, and on the opposition side, they're determined not to create any news that will potentially give anyone else an advantage.
And Fraser, it's not just Angela Rayner that's in hot water. Also, Bridget Phillipson has made the news today. There's a suggestion that the Shadow Education Secretary might scrap the £4 billion expansion of free childcare, which Jeremy Hunt announced in the budget the other week. She was commissioned a review of the scheme, which she says is a mess.
I took away something rather different from that. I thought, here are the Tories boasting about how they're about to launch this completely unaffordable plan to expand the welfare state to cover childcare for everybody who's got a kid more than 9 months old, regardless how rich they are. Now, this is, to me, a very strange thing for the Conservatives to be doing, given that they're supposed to be emphasising fiscal restraint and cutting down taxes, etc. And it's for the Labour Party, we're saying, hang on a minute, this is a bit of a splurge, I'm not quite sure, but it makes sense. Maybe we should have Ofsted in to do a review of this. So Bridget Phillipson, the Shadow Education Secretary, has been, oddly enough, the voice of conservatism on here. Now, you've got Mel Stride and Jeremy Hunt, two cabinet members, are both out today saying to people, look, we're about to give you this freebie, the Labour Party is going to take it away from you. Now, this is the language which Labour normally use to attack Conservatives. So you enter this upside-down world where we're in now. And I think it rather accurately sums up our state of politics. We're about to have a general election where the Conservatives have borrowed and spent more than any Labour government will have previously done. The tax rate is at the highest level in 77 years. And yet it's the Conservatives who are saying, no, that's not enough. Let's basically tax and spend some more by expanding childcare pledge, and Labour are the ones talking about fiscal sanity. I'm not quite sure this is a good look for the Conservatives ultimately. If you're going to have a battle, it should be a battle on a ground that underlines your values. I mean, we all know, by the way, that the only reason they did this was because Rishi Sunak thought the Labour were going to offer free childcare to all the kids over 9 months old, and they wanted to beat them to it. So it was one of these, something that's so clever that it's stupid, that they just thought, okay, we're going to shoot Labour's fox and announce what they're going to announce anyway. And then it turns out Labour don't want to do it. So the Tories are the ones looking like they're making promises that the tax base can't afford.
Well, thank you, Fraser. Thank you, James. And thank you very much for listening. If you did enjoy this podcast, why not leave a rating or a review and perhaps even tell a friend about it?